Does everybody have the materials? Again, got access, whatever. Okay, good. All right. Never know exactly what this little clock that sits up here in the pulpit. I think it's about 8 or 9 minutes fast. At least. Yeah. I think they did that for me. But then it gets Armin too. So, all right, let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Our Father, we are grateful for thy day. We thank you that one day in every seven we're reminded to take time to come apart and give ourselves wholly to thy worship, to the consideration of the things of God, to have rest for our bodies and to have nourishment and rest and peace in our souls. So, Lord, we ask that you would help us in this hour. Guide and direct in our conversation. We ask for the help of the Holy Spirit that we might consider things aright, that we might use it aright, that it might be of benefit as we seek to serve thee in the coming days in this week and the weeks to follow. Lord, we pray for Mr. Larson this morning. We ask that you would draw near to him. Give healing, we pray. Lord, he's just had one thing after another, and we ask that you would just give his body the strength and the help that it needs to throw off this pneumonia and to give healing in the other areas and just let him have some rest and enjoyment in his time with thee. Others, Lord, that need thy help this day as well, we know. Draw near, we ask. Be with our sister congregations. Lord, draw near and help with thy spirit, by thy spirit, in the teaching and preaching of thy word in each one. Do good to your people, Lord, we ask, for we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. All right. We're back to the third commandment. And before we start looking at the proof text, last week as we finished up, I asked you to consider or to think about why we have the third commandment. Why did God give us the third commandment? And as I thought a little bit more about that, and I thought, you know, for me, all right, I did this as much for me, and I thought, well, I'll see what y'all think. As I backed up to the first commandment, because obviously there's a reason for all 10 of them. And we can know them, but the question is, how are they to impact our life? And the Ten Commandments are our rules for living. Every one of them are applicable every day. You will not find anything in God's Word that is not in some way encompassed in the Ten Commandments. So every one of them we need to be concerned with. We need to understand. And then we need to say, okay, what does God want this commandment to do for me? What is it that I need to do to make a good use, the right use of this commandment? So I backed up and I said, all right, first commandment. First commandment is, thou shalt have what? No other gods before me. All right, now we understand that, but what's it aimed at in our lives? Kind of I tried to do it in one word type thing, one or two. Our affections, what about our affections? All right, priorities, good. That's in line with what I'm thinking. What else? Anybody other thoughts? Focus. That was the word that I had. The first commandment, no other gods. We're to be focused. One God. One God. Every day. It's the one true God that I've got to be focused on. And my whole life is lived in light of that focus. That focus then starts affecting what I do, what I say. So that leads me to the second commandment, right? So these aren't necessarily, well, they aren't. One here and one there type thing. So the second commandment is what? Shall not make unto thee any graven images. And we talked about this, and our one word is kind of the word we've talked about and used for it. Second commandment is aimed at our worship. All right? First commandment's our focus. Every day, I live my life before this all-seeing, all-knowing, all-caring God. I live my life before my Heavenly Father. The second commandment, He now has said, okay, now you're thinking about me, you're focused, here's how you worship. So in this area of our relationship to God, here's how you worship. So we've got focus, we've got worship. Third commandment. Third commandment, you're not to take the name of the Lord in vain. Okay? So now, if we are constantly, and I think you know what I mean when I say constantly, obviously, as you go about your daily life, your mind is involved in needing to be, thinking about what you're doing. But at the same time, you got in the back of your mind, I'm doing this to the glory of God, for the glory of God. I want to do it as unto the Lord. Well, there's your focus, right? So, this third commandment, tell me what you think. Why would a believer, now keep in mind, I think I mentioned this last week, 10 commandments were given to the children of Israel. If I was saying today, this is what God gave to the church. Now, it's given to everyone. But certainly, those in the church should be concerned with these and what the application is. So why is it that God, why does God tell us? Why do you think God, and again, I don't want to be irreverent or blasphemous here at all. But you got to apply it. Well, to apply it, you got to understand. Paul?
This is the first one specifically dealt with our speech.
Mm-hmm. So, and again, now vain. So, is God telling us? Now, you're going to be inclined, potentially, to start maybe taking me for granted a little bit. You're gonna, if you're dealing with me, it's kind of like two people that are together. You get married and you're together, and initially there's the attention, and after a while, you just kind of at times take one another for granted, and there are always the jokes about the marriage relationship and, whatever, that you say, I would have never said that. I would have never even entertained. Yeah, I mean, nothing bad necessarily as such, that is something off-color type thing, but I would have never entertained or thought that about my spouse early in our relationship. But after a while, And after some of that initial affection wears off, we start maybe commonplace. I was thinking about it. We have this one day in seven to come and give our attention. And, you know, it'll be the next commandment. But we have this one day in seven to help us. I mean, what are we supposed to do this day? We remember the Sabbath day to do what? To keep it holy. We are forced, as it were, to refocus. And to refocus with an emphasis on who God is and what He's done for us. You come to church and you're reminded of what you have in Christ. You're taught what, and we're taught what we have in Christ, what Christ has done for us, what God has done for us in Christ, what's available to us in Christ. And we get our minds and our hearts back with this tunnel vision. It's on our God and on our Savior. You go then from the Sabbath day into the world. 6 days. 6 days. And in Dr. Overly's the speech, our speech, well, all the speech that's around us, you've got the world, many of whom have no clue who this God is. I mean, we'll consider some. Their only knowledge of God is the term, and they use it in their swearing. If you ask them who Jesus Christ was, a lot of them wouldn't begin to know where to start. They sure wouldn't say, well, He's the Son of God, the Savior of sinners. I don't know, maybe He was some guy that lived, or maybe if they know that. I don't know who He is. You know, we might be shocked sometimes. We are shocked because we've come up. We know there's a familiarity to us, but then we are inundated. We are bombarded with all these irreverent, ignorant, blasphemous, vain use of God's name. And you get to where you get used to it. And it shouldn't. We shouldn't. If we get used to it, I would suggest to you, then you are easing into the area that this commandment's aimed at. You don't take the name of the Lord in vain. And it pertains to everything. And if you hear it and you pass it off, and sometimes I'm not saying you shouldn't pass it off. That certainly is a start. But sometimes it may give us an opportunity. You know, if somebody uses God's name, you're talking about my Heavenly Father. You know, and they'll probably look at you like you were crazy. But, you know, do you know my Heavenly Father? You just used His name. And maybe it gives an opportunity to witness. But certainly, as we hear it, does it bother us? That you would use my Savior's name the way you do? You know, some of you may have other ideas, but we need to make sure these commandments are impacting us. I don't want us to just know them. And I'm speaking to myself more than I'm speaking to you. I catch myself as I study thinking, you know, that's just never really crossed my mind, and it should have a long time ago type thing. So it's a matter of what we do with it and how we use it. So that third commandment, and we may have more ideas, and if you think of some other things, certainly feel free to share them. But I would suggest to you, just take these commandments and create your own word for it or your own application. But make sure you're making an application of all of them as we go through them. All right. Let's take a look at, I'm on page 432. What is required in the third commandment? Anybody got any other comments on any of those first three in light of what we were just talking about? Any other thoughts? Okay, Paul? Yeah, vain here is a dishonor. It's a irreverent use. Where vain in Ecclesiastes is just kind of a nothingness. This is a not in an empty sense, but in a wrong way, without thought for what you ought to be thinking about. Which brings you somewhat back to the first commandment. That's what I say. They're all interconnected. And if you fail in the first commandment, the third commandment won't even bother you. You'll catch yourself and things won't even faze you. Because if you don't have a full appreciation for who God is, then taking His name in vain is going to be much easier to do. Not that you necessarily are intending to do that. But that's what's striking me about this third commandment, is just how easy it is. I think I mentioned to you Williamson, the referenced book that I mentioned to start with. There's some in the library there. But in talking about this commandment, the term good grief was a reference to at least his understand, or over time. Now, you know, if you use it, then I'm not saying this is what you're even thinking about, because I haven't, and I've used it. But good grief was a reference to the grief of Christ in the garden prior to His crucifixion. So if that's true, and I'm not questioning the truth of it, but if it is, if I use that term, and that's what it has reference to. And I just use it as disgust. That would be a violation. The terms, you hear the terms, the OMGs, the gosh, the G, and forgive me for, but I don't know any other way to point it out. But people use these terms all the time. The G is short for Jesus. Gosh is for God. And these other terms that you've heard, they're a violation. And those are a clear violation of this third commandment. So we need to be careful in our own speech, the personal application. Then we need to be careful as we help others. Maybe others that, like me, I've used it. Do you know what that term, at least what it may mean? Well, I need to ask the Lord to forgive me if that's what it means, and I'm going to quit using it. And you start saying, wow, this starts, my conversation needs to be, I've got to be very careful with it. And now, I'm not saying everything has to be serious by any means, but we need to be careful in what our humor or what our leisure or what our general conversation, what it does, what it brings into our conversation that might be a violation of this commandment. It's just, and it's easy, so easy to do. You just Start thinking about, okay, my conversation. And you just watch and see what comes up and even what goes through your head, through your mind. Because as we read in the question last week, that what goes through our mind is part of what this commandment applies to. All right. So let's go to question 112. Anything else? Anybody got anything else? Bob. Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure. An improper use of the word, because the word is a way that God has made himself known. And we see the word mentioned in the answer to question 112. Certainly. Praying. And we'll go through. We're just fixing to go through all these little terms. We're not going to spend a lot of time on all of them, but I think it's worth noting that how broad this application, this commandment reaches in what we do. It's not just those proper names. As I noted, when you're reading the answer, what is required in the third commandment? I'm 432, question 112. The third commandment requires that the name of God, all right? Then it stops and kind of tells us what that is encompassing. So that encompasses his titles, his attributes, his ordinances, the word, sacraments, prayer, oaths, vows, lots, and his works, and whatever else he's used or whatever tells us of him, teaches us of him. You know, an improper use of astronomy is a violation of this commandment. These people who want to use the horoscope and stuff, a violation of this commandment. And there are going to be a couple other things we're going to see in just a little bit that you just may not have. And again, I'm in the same boat, kind of putting two and two together. Say, you know what? That does equal four. But I never thought about this two and this two coming together. All right? So let's take a look. And I'm just picking, I'm going to do just like I did before, our footnotes. You've got your references there. So number one is talking about his titles and the attributes especially. And just kind of look at these. And I thought it's interesting too. Number one there, Matthew 6:9, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. All right, we've used a name. The first thing that Christ taught his disciples to do was then to consider the name they just used. Hallowed be thy name. Stop. Don't be praying without some reflection on who you're praying to. Hallowed be thy name. Reverence, respect, appreciation, love, all in there. Fear, a godly fear, all in that hallowed be thy name. First thing that Christ tells his disciples. First thing. So you've got the term, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So there we've got name, a times a name, Father, the name here. Deuteronomy 28:58, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear the glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. So here's that fear, that godly fear. The name's there, and a name is there, the Lord thy God. The next one, Psalm 29:2, give unto the Lord, there's a term, the name, the glory due unto his name, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So now you've got worship. When you use the name, there's an aspect of worship tied to it. So now we're back in part to the first commandment. Focus who this God is and what my obligations are to this God. Right? Psalm 68:4, sing unto God, sing praises to His name, extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name, Yah, Jehovah, and rejoice before Him. So now you've got your praise and you're rejoicing. So as we consider the keeping of this commandment, look at the terms that we've got, that God's giving to us. The worship, the fear, the praise, the rejoicing. That's what our conversation needs to be marked by. All right? And that's not me. That's God that's told us that. All right? Revelation 15:3-4, and I think I mentioned to you last week, you want to get some idea of maybe of what our conversation should be like. Read Revelation, what's going on in heaven. And here you've got a little bit of it. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, there's a name, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, tying the works of God into His name. Lord God Almighty, another name. Just and true are Thy ways, Thou King of saints, another name. Who shall not fear Thee, O Lord, and glorify Thy name? For Thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before Thee, for Thy judgments are made manifest. So the glory that's being poured out in the praise and the worship in heaven. Now, I don't know all of what is going to take place in heaven. I don't know daily. I mean, Scripture tells us about ruling and whatnot. And so I don't know. But I can tell you this, you won't have any problem keeping any of the commandments. But your conversation will focus on the Lamb, just as this passage has given us. And look at all the titles. Look at all the titles there. Now that's, if we are thinking about back focus on God, on Christ, all right, then these titles are things that should be coming into our minds as we go throughout our life. The offices of Christ, prophet, priest, king. Here we've got the Lamb, priestly work of Christ. We've got the King of the saints mentioned here. Right? And you can work these out for yourself. But you see the part of the conversation that's going on in heaven. Well, I don't know any reason why we are to wait till heaven to make that our conversation. It ought to be part of our conversation here on earth. There's nothing that I find that says, now when you get to heaven, this is what you'll be. Not that way now. And it's not perfect now, for sure. But there's no reason for us not, again, make the Ten Commandments applicable. Okay, how am I going to use this commandment in my heart and life to help me be what God wants me to be? I want to obey. I want to serve. I want to glorify. So how do I do that with this commandment? Because if you ignore it, you don't think about it, chances are, God didn't give it to us to be ignored, to be laid aside. And I've said it before, it is an act, it's a lot of fiery darts of the devil to get the law, the Ten Commandments, held in, oh, no, that doesn't apply now. oh, you're a legalist, or whatever. No. The law is our friend to help us be holy. And as a believer, our heart, I mean, that's my question. So, as a believer, you got something against holiness? Is it not your desire to live holy before the Lord? Well, how do you know how to do that? Where do you come? You come back to the Ten Commandments, effectively. Whether you do it directly or you do it indirectly, you're going to have to make them applicable. All right. Yeah, any, if you got comments, just raise a hand or blurt out or whatever. All right? Number two, on page 432, number two is the ordinances. All right? Malachi 1:14, but cursed be the deceiver. Now, the deceiver here is not the devil. The deceiver here is the churchgoer. All right? So keep that in mind as you read this. The deceiver here is a churchgoer. But cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male and voweth to the Lord and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. So it's somebody who is worshiping in a manner that is not as God has directed. Where does that take us? To the second commandment. All right? So a violation of how we worship is a violation of the third commandment, because now we're taking God's name in vain because He has directed how He is to be worshiped. If we worship other than He has directed, we are taking His name in vain. So it gets to be important what our heart's like when we come to the Lord's house. It's important what our heart's like every day. Because what you do and what you say in reference to anybody and anything, whatever you do in word, in deed, whatever you are to do it how? To the glory of God. Everything. And when we don't know how, what God requires of us, or we ignore that, among other things, the third commandment. Okay? Starts getting close to home. At least it does to me. A corrupt thing, for I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. So if you do this, it's not without consequence, which we see in the commandment as well. Okay? In Ecclesiastes on 4:34, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. Here we are, something for today. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Whoa. Many a people, many a person, and I in my own heart at times, catch myself. Many will go to church, to a church today, and sing, give, put money in the offering plate or in the box or whatever. They will do the acts of worship with no intent. They go to the house of God to give the sacrifice of fools. They're going to the house of God. And understand, these are churchgoers, people going to church, if I can use today's application. And they're going to give the sacrifice of fools in that they're not doing it for the right reasons. Okay? God says,
here. Listen to what I say. How you're to worship. What you're to do. What's to be in your heart when you offer up this sacrifice. Be more ready to hear than to be seen. Be seen by yourself. You may not be looking to be seen by others. But it may just be to appease your conscience. I did my part unto the Lord today. All right? Violation. Third commandment. What God says we're to do. Failure to follow His ordinances, His commandments, again, is a taking of His name in vain. You say, I have a hard time putting that together. The name, because my inclination is to, when I use the term name, to think of, Tim Farr, that's my name. And the names of God that we have in Christ. But you start looking at this commandment, and it reaches out to every way that God has revealed Himself to us. One of the ways He reveals Himself is in how He's told us to worship, because that in turn makes us consider who He is and why we are to worship that way. If you're going to worship God, you worship God in spirit and in truth. So there are certainly two things that you must be concerned about when you come to God's house. Are you being spirit-led? And are you following God's word? Are you worshiping as He has directed? If not, then how are you worshiping Him? If you aren't worshiping Him in truth, are you worshiping Him at all? Now again, God's a very loving God, a very kind Father who understands the frailty of our flesh. But at the same time, He tells us, He gave us this commandment to stop and say, I better think about what I'm doing. Practical application. How I live. The outworking, as it were, of commandments 1 and 2. How I live. All right. The word, Psalm 138, 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness, for thy truth, and for thy truth. Here we go again. See it coming in. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now that's kind of an interesting phrase, isn't it? Thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Word there is simply the what's been said. All right? Remember how Exodus 20 starts? And God spake all these words, saying. All right? So we've got what God has said, and what follows there are the Ten Commandments. Thou hast magnified what you have said above your name. The name here is a position, right? It's not that God's word in some way is higher than God Himself. But what He's done, the verse that came to my mind thinking about this was, heaven and earth shall pass away, but what? But my word won't. And God has so elevated His word so that to ignore it, to misuse it, what Bob was talking about a while ago, to intentionally misinterpret it or whatever, is to take His name in vain. So He's brought His word right up there that if you violate it, if you don't use it properly, it's the same as basically taking his name and using it improperly. Kind of a shot over the bow, isn't it, as to how we study and use God's Word. Okay? Because if we think lightly, if we ignore it, the implications or the actual actions are what? An ignoring of God. You know what we're saying? We're taking his name in vain, and he's elevated his, he put his word, whatever he said, he's put it right up there with who he is. So we ignore it, we're ignoring him. We think lightly of it, the ramification is we think lightly of him. We think lightly of him, what's going to follow, we're going to take his name in vain. Okay? All these, I trust you'll look at them, and I'm maybe spending more time than I should, but I think it's worth our consideration. All right, number four, the sacraments, and a familiar passage. The first two verses, 24-25, tying the sacraments to Christ. This is my body. This is my blood. All right? The next two verses as to how we are to use those sacraments. If we use them unworthily, as the passage talks about, if we use them unworthily, we've used them in vain. We've used them irreverently. We've used them disrespectfully. We've used them perhaps blasphemously. That's why it's so important with young people, especially younger young people, and parents in dealing with them, and the sessions happy enough to sit down and talk with them, that they understand. And they don't have to understand all the ramifications, but they got to have some understanding of what, when Christ says, "This is my body," what some of the ramifications are of that. "This is my blood." How necessary that blood is, and that blood is what has cleansed them from their sin. Because to do so wrongfully, it's taking the Lord's name in vain. And you can see there a direct application where Christ said, "This is my body." Not literally, as the Roman Catholic Church would have it be, but this is a symbol of what I've done for you in keeping the law. That second Adam. "This is my blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And only the sin of the perfect, unblemished Lamb of God can atone for our sin." Now, that's what it represents. If you partake unworthily, without thought, without consideration, you've taken the Lord's name in vain. Prayer. "I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." Where we pray? Everywhere. There is no limitation on where we pray, and that we do it with holy, without wrath and doubting. All right? We do it with a pure heart and in faith. All the time. Everywhere. We leave God out of things. We don't pray. Violation of the third commandment. Because God says, I want you to talk to me about these things. Isn't that what prayer's doing? We're talking to God about what is going on. God says, I want you to talk to me about these things. I'm here to help you, to guide you. I want you to believe that I'm here to help you, to strengthen, to meet your needs. And I want you to come focused. See again how important the first commandment is. We don't consider who God is. We aren't focused. How are you going to have faith in someone you don't know anything about? Or that you don't know as much about as you should or could? If you haven't considered everything that God's done, what makes you think about His power? So, all right, we'll stop there and pick up there next week. And take time to read through and just enjoy it. Ask the Lord to open your heart to it. And then, never even thought about that this way. A lot of stuff here. A lot of stuff. All right, anybody got any comments, questions? Good. All right. I'm glad everything was so clear. Good. All right. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we come before Thee, and as we consider some of these things, we realize how often and how easy it is that we fail Thee. But we do pray that You would strengthen us in the inner man, that You would help us, Lord, as we seek to do what You would have us to do. Lord, help us to make good application of that which we are considering. We do ask Thy blessing upon the service to follow. Lord, give us hearts that are ready to worship, hearts that come with consideration of why we're here and what Christ has done for us to make it meaningful that we can come and worship the God of all glory. Bless us, we pray. Do us good for Thy name's sake. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.